Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Simon.
I think we left it last week, our discussion, that we were going to raise the issue of NHI, National Health Insurance, this week. Because where I was coming from with this discussion and why I wanted to chat to you about it was probably about 4 months ago, this to me was the biggest bogeyman in the room. This was, they had such a trust deficit between myself and the government. I thought they can't be trusted to implement a program involving this amount of money. There's no reason to think that they can. It's the beginning of the end for all of us. And I got all negative and unhappy. And then COVID hit. And I think COVID, to a very large extent, has caused a lot of us to re-examine where we stand on a lot of issues. You know, the high walls and the electrical fences can't insulate you from a virus, and we are all in this together. And now I'm not so sure that I think as strongly about those issues as I did previously. What's your take? No, that won't do.
I'll tell you what the tricky thing with NHI is. I think your original fears are still well founded. What I think has certainly been a genuine positive is, one is the performance, if I can use that word, of our health minister, Zweli Mkhize. He's been thorough. He grasped the nettle when he had to. He's looked impressive, and he's really, I think he's been the best face of the, from a government point of view, on the pandemic. And he is a great proponent of the NHI, which is a worry, because I still think despite the efforts the government has made to ramp up and to really go for it, given the fact that it is a pandemic, I still think that, look, even if we stop the discussion here simply on the basis of cost, it would be, what are we talking about? 500 billion to start, year one. The other thing is, of course, what doesn't change is the fact that if the government were to deal with the private sector on a sort of mutually respectful or respectable basis, the private sector has to a great extent been responsible for the ramping up of available equipment and things like that. And it's, particularly in pandemic, that's exactly what you should see. But it doesn't really change outside of the pandemic, because in order to really keep the taxpayer sort of comfortable with living a life with knowing you'll get a good quality of life medically, private practice offers that. The thing is then is to take what that offers and best use it. And my biggest concern about our government is it won't, because it inherently distrusts anything that considers that is private, whether it's a private sector business or the private sector medical. And that is what ultimately will scupper everything. And just by forcing private practitioners out of business and into the public sector and trying to create something that is absolutely dominated by the public sector is not going to make things work any better once this epidemic is over, because largely because of the lockdown, so much that would have gone to hospital hasn't been there. So that sort of MASH style pressure that one expected to see hasn't yet, I say yet, been there. And if you move away from the medical side, I think that some of the things we've seen coming out of government are just terrifying.
So I'm looking at the situation. I'm thinking, hold on a minute. I've got a president who is a billionaire, who's made nice dosh loads full of money. He has gained quite a bit of stature over the past month or so. And were he to go to elections now, I truly believe that his faction would come out way stronger than it did from the last election. All positive signs for the decrease of the trust deficit, or am I just being hopeful because I want to see hope?
I think the latter, but I don't deride it in any way. I think we do need some hope. I think the problem is that I'm not sure. It struck me that, you know, people have said that Ramaphosa hasn't come to the fore and made the reforms that need to be made to our economy, because he's caught between the Zumaites on the one hand and the left on the other. Yeah. I don't think that's true. I think what Cyril represents more than anything is he is a great way to present the ANC to the public, because it's a pretty grim lot. But Cyril is, he's like your, I don't know what you call it, your sort of poster boy, if I could describe it that way. And I think, you know, the fact that he's really not argued for any of the things that I think are worrying coming out of this lockdown, the cigarettes, the alcohol, the sort of strange little allowance on exercise, but we're not quite sure why it's been done the way it's been done. The BEE aspect, that the court favored the government, which I'm very sorry about. He's not there on the issues. He's there once a week to reassure us. And he is a very reassuring presence. And I suspect that, I think he's a company man. He will go with the company, but he presents the best face of the company, literally the best face of the company.
I'm going off at a bit of a tangent now, but I did watch a bit of television recaps. They interviewed John Steenhuisen on Freedom Day, and he spoke about we need to guard zealously about our rights being taken away during the pandemic and not being given back. He spoke for about 5 minutes about that. Mm-hmm. And then Julius Malema, okay, they did give him an hour, not 5 minutes, but the man came with a message that spoke to people, Sarah. He wasn't talking to a couple of white liberals. He was talking to people who were angry and scared. And I just sat thinking, my goodness me, they're out of touch. They're just out of touch. If they don't up their game, they are going to condemn themselves to absolute and total irrelevancy.
To be honest,
I missed it,
partly because I was writing, I wrote an article yesterday that disappeared. You know how it happens on computer. Every occasionally an article just completely and utterly disappears, and I've been scrambling left, right and center. What is interesting is that the EFF have constantly, and still do as I understand, called for a hard lockdown. And when I looked at the figures today for unemployment, I think things could very suddenly start unraveling for the government and anyone who supports a hard lockdown, because the economic consequences are dire already. And if there's a thing, if it can be something direr, we're going to get it. And, I certainly don't think I don't think Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is a sympathetic personality for people. And I in my good, you know, solid, reliable way, I am not entirely hopeful.
So we're going to leave it there, because I want to play out with something upbeat and wonderful. But as always, thank you for making us think. I really appreciate your contribution every week. I really, really do.
My pleasure.